Let me say a few words of introduction for this essay on Parshas Tetzaveh. In the world of Chassidut, of Kabbalah, mysticism, there's a concept, as you know, which is called Gilgul Neshamas. It means that the Neshama gets a goof, but sometimes, unfortunately, the goof doesn't perform up to par as it should. But the Neshama now needs the possibility of reaching its fruition. So it is somehow injected into a different goof. And in that second goof, hopefully there'll be a tikkun, there'll be a rectification of that which was deficient in the first goof. And that'll give the Neshama an uplifting and a tikkun, what's called a tikkun for that Neshama. Now, it could be that the second goof is going to play a role in history way, way down the line. There may be centuries, if not millennia, down the line. And not only that, it could be that in the concept of Gilgul Neshamas, it might show up in three different gufos or more. You know, you never know when the tikkun is going to be accomplished. So you could have a neshama that appears at the dawn of history, and then many generations down the line, it'll appear in another guf, and then finally it'll be injected into a third guf, once again many centuries down the line. Now, you can understand Gilgul Neshamos in two ways. You can understand it literally. The same neshama appears in a different goof. Or you can take it in a more spiritual, conceptual way, which means that if a certain individual reached a certain level, but he was deficient in his lifetime, and as a result of his faults and his sins, he did not achieve what he should have achieved, that could have an impact down the line on someone else who will come forward and say, well, I'm going to do a better job. There has to be a connection between the two, but I don't know if it's necessarily on a physical level that the same neshama appears in a different goof. Having said that, it's just an introduction. We're going to talk about in this week's parsha the relationship between Moshe, and he's given the mitzvah of Shemen Zayis Zach, and previous generations, really an early generation back to almost the dawn of history. And is there a connection between the two? So let's first begin with the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros B'Beis HaMikdash. The Torah says at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, V'ata Tetzaveh Es B'nei Yisrael. So let's emphasize the word Tetzaveh. The word Tetzaveh has two meanings to it. It could mean to literally pronounce and enunciate a command, and in this case Moshe Rabbeinu is simply a conduit, and he is mandated by Hashem to transmit a certain mitzvah. The word Tetzaveh could mean something else. Tetzaveh could mean what we call tzavta, when you have a chibur, a connection between two individuals, or between a leader and his people. In this case, there's going to be a direct connection and an intimate relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader and the people of Bnei Yisrael. That's point number one. We'll discuss this in Yirtzeh Hashem more. Barichus will embellish it as we go along. But the second point we want to make is, it says, V'yikhu Eilecha. Now this word Eilecha should be underlined, because it appears elsewhere in a totally different context. But once again, Hashem commands V'yikhu Eilecha, and that's the parasha of Paraduma, which is in Parashas Chukas. Now Rashi goes out of his way to try to explain what V'yikhu Eilecha means in the context of Paraduma. What's the emphasis here on Eilecha? I mean, you could say V'yikhu Paraduma. You could say V'yikhu Shemen Zayizah. Why is it Eilecha? Eilecha means to you, to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rashi establishes a principle with regard to Paraduma, which means Li'olam hi nikreis al shmecha. Every single para throughout Jewish history, let's say there were 8 Paradumas during Jewish history, whatever the number might be, that's not relevant to our discussion. But each Paraduma is kind of a duplicate or a personification of the original Paraduma. It means we always attribute the power of Tahara that's inherited in Paraduba to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Eilecha. So again, Rashi goes out of his way to formulate an entire principle that's derived from one single word, Eilecha. That the Paraduma throughout history, each Paraduma, way beyond the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, is connected back to the original Paraduma that was created by Moshe Rabbeinu back in the Midbar. Here, at the beginning of our parasha, the same two words appear in the context of Shem and Zayisah. And once again it says, V'yikhu Eilecha, and yet I looked in Rashi, and what did I find? Nothing. Rashi doesn't make any comment. He doesn't tell you what the word Eilecha means in the context of Shem and Zayisah. Why is the Torah commanding that the Shem and Zayisah should be brought to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, Eilecha? So far we have two questions. Oh, you didn't page from page one? Does anybody have an extra copy of page one, maybe? I don't know, I'm not finding it. I thought I put it on the desk.
I have one. I mean, we have
one. Yeah, but you can have it.
Okay, so I apologize. You know, I'm not great at photocopying. It's been one of my challenges. I'm photocopy challenged. And especially, it seems to fall here on this class. You know, once a week in Chumash. I don't know. I just make mistakes. Of course, I'm going to blame it on the photocopy machine. I'm not going to. So let's just summarize two questions, and then we want to add a third question. The first question is, what does the word tetzaveh mean? And the implication of the word tetzaveh is some sort of a connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and the people of Israel. We want to embellish that idea. The second question is, what's the yikhu eilecha? What's the significance of the word eilecha? And now we're going to add a third question. The third question is, and again, I ask this pedagogically, how many times does Moshe Rabbeinu's name appear here in the Torah in this context of V'yikhu Eilecha Shamin Zayizah? And the answer is zero. Zippo. It doesn't appear at all. And this is one of the rare occasions in which Moshe Rabbeinu's name is omitted. Instead, it's V'yata. And this unidentified V'yata, a pronoun.
In the colloquial, we would say, hey you.
Hey you, right? Hey you. But where's the you here? You know, in every other parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is explicit, it's mentioned. And now we get on to a fourth question. And that's based on the Medrash. The Medrash tells us that there's some sort of connection here between the Shemen Zayis Zach and the story of the Yonah, of the dove that brought back to the Teva after it was sent on its mission a zayis, an olive branch. And the Medrash says, you'll see this in the second paragraph, that when Noach sends out after the Mabul a Yonah, it says Liros hakolu hamayim al hadoma, have the waters settled down on the ground, so that now there's dry land and you can find a zayis. Vatovo elof hayona, the Yonah returns to the Teva, evening time. Vehine Allah zayis torach befiha, she has this branch of the olive tree in her mouth. And this is a reason for rejoicing, because the other Noach ki kolo amayim al haaretz, no longer is the Mabul flooding the earth. Says the Medrash, this story, the episode of the Yonah in the Teva, is connected to our parsha of Shemen Zayis. Again, the emphasis on the word Zayis. And the Medrash says that, in fact, Klal Yisrael, in Shir HaShirim, in the metaphor of the love relationship between the Raya and the Dod, Klal Yisrael is compared to the Yonah. We are the Yonah, so to speak. Hine yofa rayosi, hinoch yofa einayich yonim. In other words, the Dod, representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is praising the Kala, the Raya, meaning Knesset Yisrael, because of the beauty of her eyes, like the beauty of the dove. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to the people of Israel, Dugma Shalcha Doma Le'yona, your, in a sense, your metaphysical essence as the people of Israel is similar to that of the Yonah. And the Medrash goes ahead and quotes the pasuk in which Noach sends out the Yonah, and the Yonah comes back to the Teva. And the Medrash adds the following comment. What is the comparison, the analogy between Knesset Yisrael and the Yonah of the Teva? My Yonah hevia ora li'olam. The world was dark and bleak. It was flooded at the time of the Mabul. The Yonah now brings light and happiness and joy into the world. She becomes the conduit to bring about, bless you, to celebrate the dryness of the earth, the fact that the Mabul is no longer. That's the light of the world, the future, the optimism. Afatem, you too, the people of Israel, Nimshaltem, you are compared in this metaphor to the Yonah, as it says in Shir Hashirim, Einayach Yonim, you brought the Shemen Zayit, and it brought Ar, because what do we do with the Shemen Zayit that the Jewish people bring to Moshe Rabbeinu? We light the menorah, the candelabra. And therefore, we bring the Ar. We bring light into a dark world. That's our responsibility, our unique legacy, our contribution. Shenemar v'atot etzave v'yikhu elecha shemen. We will be bringing shemen of the Zayit. And where? To the Beis Hamikdash. And for what purpose? For the purpose of lighting the candelabra. Moshe Rabbeinu, command the people. This is your responsibility. This is your singular nature as the Jewish people, your contribution to bring the Shemen of the Zayis and bring the Ar, the light, to a very dark world. And we would like to understand in the context of this metaphor, comparing Knesset Yisrael to the Yonah, what is so significant about the Yonah bringing back the Ale Zayit? I mean, after all, that's what the Yonah was sent to do, and that's what the Yonah accomplished. But this seems to be the event, you know, the singular event that represents Klal Yisrael. The Yonah is the forerunner, and so far as it brings the Ale Zayit to the Teva of Noach, the forerunner of Klal Yisrael, the essence of Klal Yisrael. Why? What is the great significance of the Yonah bringing the Ale Zayit? What's inherent in the Zayit, such that it now represents the people of Israel, who are likewise going to bring the Zayit, they're going to bring the Shemen of the Zayit for the purpose of the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash with Shemen Zayit.
Really? Before the Yonah goes out and comes back with the branch, we just read about the raven went out and came back empty handed.
There's a contrast, right, between the Orev. The Orev leaves the world dark. The Orev is very self-centered. I have a lot of drushes about the raven. You heard of Edgar Allan Poe? Oh, okay, good. Just want to make sure you know what I'm talking about, right? Send the raven evermore, right?
Is the raven perhaps Yavan, who is darkness, or...
Maybe. I don't know if there's any connection between Yavan and the raven, but surely the Yonah represents Knesset Yisrael. Now, as we said before, Ata conceals the name of Moshe. And the one who notices this is the Tur. The Tur was the son of the Rush, and he quotes his father, the Rush. What we're going to try to find is that there's an antecedent way before the Rush. You know, the Rush lived, let's say, 1,000 years ago, but way before that, this point was brought to light. The Torah says the following. We're in the second column on page 1 for those who enjoy the text. And again, if you don't have the page, I apologize. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu is omitted from this Seder, from this parasha of Tetzaveh. And from the time back in Shemot, parasha Shemot, when Moshe Rabbeinu is born, there's not one single parasha in the Torah, did you know this, where Moshe Rabbeinu's name is omitted. There's only one parasha from Shemot until the Einei Kol Yisrael, the end of the Torah, where Moshe's name is omitted. And that's this parasha, Parshas Tetzaveh. In a normal year, that would coincide with the anniversary of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu on Zayin Adar. Now, again, you know, this year we have two Adar, so we're not sure whether you commemorate a Yahrzeit on the first Adar or the second Adar. I'm not getting into that. Anyway, if you want, I have a whole shiur on that. But as far as I'm concerned, this is the omission of Moshe Rabbeinu here in Parshas Tetzaveh. And the Torah says why. An unbelievable answer. And he attributes the answer to his father, the Rosh. Moshe Rabbeinu in next week's parasha, not this Shabbos, but the one after, the parasha of the worshipping of the Egel Azov, of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu responds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's declaration, V'ata now, Hashem says, I'm ready to destroy the Jewish people, and Escha Oschol Goy Godel, you will be the father, the project of a new nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu says the following, Yim Tisa Chatosom, if you'll overlook them, their sin, then fine, I'm with you. But Im Ayin, if you're not willing to do that, Mecheni No Misifracha Asher Kasavta, erase me from the book that you have written. Says the Rosh, when a person says something and he's a chacham, he's a man of significance, and perhaps this could apply even to the rank and file citizen, it's going to come to fruition.
And that's the satan.
Right. We have to be very careful about the words that we speak. I don't know if you know this, but in Hasidic circles, if a parent says to a child, because he wants to warn the child, that if you don't behave properly, if you don't cross the street properly, you'll be bitten by a dog. In Hasidic circles, that's absolutely unacceptable. Because that's what's called kilas chacham tovo. It will be fulfilled. We have to be very careful. There's a very famous story, I don't want to get into it now, about a great chassid who was childless for 24 years. And after 24 years of going from doctor to doctor, fertility center to fertility center, he finally sat down and reviewed his life, and he tried to see if there was any occasion, any episode in his life that might have caused a punishment, and Hashem gave him what's called a ha'ara, somehow in the middle of his sleep. He remembered that when he was a yeshiva bacha, in what's called a slonimer yeshiva, there was a misharetet, a woman who used to clean the floors, and sometimes she was so poor she couldn't afford a babysitter. She would bring her children, her little children, and they would be there while she cleaned the beis medrash. And this particular chassid was a tremendous masmid, was disturbed by the noise of the children. And for many months he didn't say a word, but finally one time it burst out and he said to her, well, why do you bring your children? You know, I can't concentrate. So she blessed him. And she said to him, you, Emir Tzashem, you're such a great masmid, you will never suffer tsar gidul bonim. And the Slonim HaChassid began to realize 24 years later that maybe what was implicit in her words when she said, you'll never suffer tzar gidul bonim, means you'll never be a parent, because it's impossible to be a parent and not suffer at some point tzar gidul bonim. He figured out, after researching it, that she was still alive 24 years later. And she found her, and he found her address. And he asked her for mechila on that one occasion in which he complained about. 9 months later, he became a father of a child. And this story is recorded in many different svarim. It's not like, you know, one of those
Urban legends,
yeah, that you'll find in Mishpacha. No, I like Mishpacha. Don't get me wrong. But we have to be very careful about the words that come out of our mouth. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mecheni no misifracha, says the Rosh, as a result of the fact that Mecheni no misifracha, Moshe's name was erased from Parshas Tetzaveh. Why Parshas Tetzaveh is what we have to understand. But the antecedent to this statement of the Rosh is the Zohar. The Zohar itself is very much aware of this episode of Mecheni No Misifracha. Again, the Gemara in Masechta Brachos, you'll see in the second paragraph in the middle column, formulates the fine principle: Kilul as chacham afilu al tnai he ba, it will come to fruition. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to destroy the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu said in Cain, Mecheni no misifrecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you said those words. Those words will have an impact. But Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what? I will have compassion on you. Because I realize that you deserve my divine compassion. Instead of erasing you totally, obliterating your name from the Sefer that begins with Gracious and ends with B'yei Kol Yisrael, I will remove your name from one parsha, from Parshas Tetzaveh. And your klola, which you brought upon yourself, will only come to fruition in one particular parsha, and that's the parsha of Ki Tetzaveh. And now we have to add another question to our list of questions. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu would be punished based on the words Mecheni no misifrecha? Those words came from Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth to save the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Raya Mehemna. He is the reliable shepherd for the flock, and he will not stand by idly when Hashem is going to destroy the people. So what does the Zohar mean when it says, and this you'll see this in the third paragraph in the bold letters, Mi lanu gadol mi Moshe she'amar in ayin mecheni no misifrecha she'kasav tovi amar litzorach. He had a definite purpose in saying that. He was justified. V'af al pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa ritzono, and God in fact lived up to this prayer and he spared the Jewish people. But nevertheless, lo nitzol mi onesh, you want to underline those words, lo nitzol, he was not saved from a punishment. And therefore, nizkar beparshas Tetzaveh, his name was obliterated from the parsha of Tetzaveh. It says v'yato Tetzaveh. Nowhere does the name Moshe Rabbeinu appear in parshas Tetzaveh. There are 101 psukim in parshas Tetzaveh. It's a pretty long parsha, or it's at least average size. And Moshe Rabbeinu, whose name will not be found, says the Zohar, there's a punishment because of mecheni no misimcha. So if you take a look at the end of a paragraph that starts with Omnom at the end of this middle column, he says, Eich Yal Al Adas, how are we meant to understand the Zohar and the Rush and the Tour, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not spare Moshe Rabbeinu from this klola? God can do everything. And after all, Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to save the Jewish people. He was willing to put his life on the line with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, with self-sacrifice. And this was one of the greatest moments in Moshe Rabbeinu's career, to save the Jewish people and stave off the decree of God. And yet, Hashem says, you're going to be punished. How could this be? And if you take a look on the top left, you'll see that there was a midah of rachamim here, that God says, misifrecha, that when Moshe said misifrecha, it means mikol haTorah kula. Sifrecha includes the entire Torah. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give midas harachamim, and instead of misifrecha, taking that literally, Hashem will remove his name from one parsha. And that's called a midas harachamim. But again, it still bothers us. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu would be, so to speak, punished for something that was the most glorious moment of his life, that saved the Jewish people? He had to say that, and Hashem buckled under, so to speak, Kaviyochel. Now, Rabosa, you know the style of the Shvilei Pinchas. He always starts with many questions, then he puts them on the back burners, and hopefully we'll swing back to answer those questions at the end.
Rabbi, just a question. The Torah was broken up into different passages and different sages. Is it the Anshei Keset HaGdola? Because
that's a very interesting question.
Because
in America we have a phrase called the plea the fifth. I don't know if you know what that means. Yeah. You know, there are five. There are many amendments to the Constitution, but one of them is the Fifth Amendment, which says self incrimination, meaning I'm allowed to say I don't know, I could leave a question unanswered, because whatever I answer you, Doc, I'm going to be in deep trouble. So I'm going to quote the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution at this point. But keep your question in mind. Okay, Rabosai, what I want to do now is start the shiur. and you know, this is our worst enemy. So all the questions that we asked are now being put on the back burners, and now we have a new thesis that I said at the introduction has to do with a very deep and profound mystical concept called Gilgul Neshamas, which means that someone lives at a certain moment in history. He doesn't achieve the goal that God expected of him, but somebody else is influenced by the failures of a predecessor, and he decides to take it upon himself to fix up and rectify the, and that's called Gilgul Neshamas. So here, starting with the paragraph Shemed no Trikun, we're going to talk about Gilgul Neshamas, and it's all based on a sefer that's called Yalkut Reuveni. Yalkut Reuveni is a compilation of drashos which are not incorporated, embodied in the classical drashos, and he takes a look at the very last word. If somebody has a chumash by any chance, the last word in Parshas Truma and the first word in Parshas Tetzava. Okay, if we don't have a chumash, then we'll have to take it on Amunas Chachamim. The last word in Parshas Truma is Nechoshes. It's a reference to the Mizbeach in the base, in the Mishkan. The first word in this week's Parsha is Vi'ata. And the Yalkut Reuveni wants to connect these two words, Nechoshes and Vi'ata. Vi'ata, of course, is clear, and it's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. What's inherent in the word Nechoshes? And the Yalkut takes the word Nechoshes and splits it into two. We'll start with the second half of the word, because historically, chronologically, that comes first. That's Shase. Okay, Shase is an individual who is a good person, basically, and he lives at the dawn of human history. A little bit later on, if we fast forward, we get to the second two letters, which are the first two letters of the word Nechoshes, and that's Noah. And Vi'ata, at the beginning of our parasha, is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. And now we see a connection between Shase, Noah, and Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to focus most of our attention today on Noah. And we're going to try to understand what it is about Noah that Moshe Rabbeinu feels the weight of trying to do better where Noah failed, where Noah was deficient. And all this is going to be inherent in the pasuk Shemen Zayis. Because if you take the word Shemen at the beginning of our parsha, you have a Shin, a Mem, and a Nun. The Shin represents Shase. The Nun represents Noach. And the Mem represents Moshe. Moshe is the last in the trail of three individuals that starts with Shase, goes to Noach, and finally it's Moshe. The Shemen of our parasha is the Shemen that combines Moshe as the last of the three with his two predecessors to try to improve on what they failed. And again, as I said before, let's not talk about Shase today. We'll leave that for another discussion. We're going to talk about Noach. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin, it's the last few lines on your page before we flip to page 2, that Noach was included. You hear this, Rabosai? He was included in the original Gezerah. Noach should have been destroyed together with his generation at the flood. But no, Hashem decided that he would spare Noach. Why? Because Noach matzachein b'yeinei Hashem. Noach had a certain attractive grace, and Hashem said, you know what? I'm going to spare you, even though you were included in the original Gezerah. And now if you turn to page 2, we'll begin to understand, based on Chazal, why is it that Noach deserved to be destroyed at the time of the flood? And what does it mean, Noach matzachein b'yeinei Hashem? The Sam Sofer tells us that although Noach was a tzaddik, as the Torah testifies, but he was missing one major chunk, and that is, he never left the comfort zone of his Dalet Amos, of his four cubits, to have any impact whatsoever on the members of his generation. And not only that, he never prays on behalf of the generation at all. Herein lies the contrast between Noach and Moshe. Noach lives a life which can be described as his bodidus. He is in just within himself. He's totally withdrawn. He's totally focused on himself. He never goes out to try to influence the people, to try to be mochiach, rebuke them, to try to tell them this is the right path and you're on the wrong path. He doesn't even pray to Hashem on behalf of the people of his generation. And this reaches the fruition in a very famous pasuk, which we read in the Haftorah for Parshas Noach and Yeshaya. Kimei Noach Zos. The waters of the flood are called the waters of Noach. Very, very harsh critique on Noach. Noach deserves to be part of the original Gzar Din because he is deficient. He was placed in a very unique position as a leader, as a tzaddik, and Hashem wanted him to play a major pivotal role at that moment in history, and he did not do so. And that's a great pagam, that's a great deficiency. And therefore, Noach does not deserve to be spared from the Mei HaMabul they called Mei Noach. And now we have to ask the following question. We have a rule that there's no such thing as Nesias Kapayim. What does it mean? Of Nesias Chen. What does that mean? If a person is guilty, and especially if he's a tzaddik, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much midagdik, with a tzaddik very demanding, very harsh, he expects him to live up to a certain standard, then there's no such thing as prejudice here. There's no such thing as, you know, you'll pay me some sort of a bribe, or you'll look very pretty, and, you know, I think that you're an attractive guy, and I feel for you, and therefore, forget about justice. If Noach is guilty and is included in the decree, if Noach fails because he does nothing for his generation to influence them or to pray on his behalf, then what does it mean that Hashem saved Noach because Matzachem b'eini Hashem? What does that mean, Matzachem b'eini Hashem? What's the Matzachem b'eini Hashem? We have a principle that Hashem meets out din. Anyone who denies that God is a God of justice is in denial of one of the basic fundamental principles of our belief. And what I'd like you to look at now on the bottom of the right column is the word Mechenina. Moshe Rabbeinu says Mechenina. What is the significance of the word Mechenina? And if you take a look, you'll split the word Mecheni into two parts. And it's Mei Noach. Again, you have to scramble the letters, but it's a reference to the Mabul and to the fact that this Mabul is called Mei Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mecheni, and Mecheni means that, look, God, if I represent Noach, meaning if I am a Gilgal Neshama of Noach, if I am trying to fix up Noach, well, will you accept my prayers on behalf of Klal Yisrael? Noach was guilty. He did not pray on behalf of his generation. I am coming forward to pray on behalf of my generation, of my Jewish people. I am the Rayim Ahemnon, the shepherd, and I have compassion on them. And if you won't accept my prayers, says Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Mecheni Noach. Then it means that you had no justification and no purpose in saving and sparing Noach. The whole reason you spared Noach, who's called Mei Noach, he's responsible, is because of me, of Moshe Rabbeinu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you saw that down the line, somebody would continue the work of Noach and rectify Noach's imperfection. And therefore, V'ata, when Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem turns to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, Hanichali v'ichar api bohem v'achalem v'esel schol goy gadol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to test Moshe Rabbeinu and see what would be his response to Hashem's declaration of his intention, of his decree. Would Moshe Rabbeinu come forward Just like in the case of Noach, Hashem revealed himself to Noach and says, Kates kol basar volfanai, I am going to decree a destruction on this evil generation. What would Noach respond? And the answer is, Noach responded, I want to save myself, my family, I'm going to build a teva, and I'm not going to contend against the divine decree. Now, Hashem turns to Moshe with the same phrase of Kates kol basar basfarai. Henichali v'yichar api bohem v'achaleim, and I will destroy them. Moshe, what's going to be your response? And the answer is that Moshe responds with, and passes the test with flying colors, and he's not willing to accept passively the decree. He's willing to put his life on the line for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And here we want to introduce an insight of the Ari HaKadosh from 5 centuries ago. In the middle column on page 2, he says something unbelievable. Not only is Moshe Rabbeinu a Gilgul to try to fix up the neshama of Noach, but I'll tell you something else, says the Arizal. Amazing. The entire people of Israel, the whole community of Israel in the Golus of Mitzrayim, are really just a Gilgal of the Dor HaMabul. The neshamas of the Dor HaMabul were great neshamas. Could you imagine that? They had unbelievable potential, says the Ari, but they failed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu now gave them, so to speak, a second chance, an opportunity. Those neshamos of the great neshamos of the Dor HaMabul would now be reincarnated into Bnei Yisrael, who are going to go down to Golos. And the entire episode, the entire enterprise of the Golos, of the exile in Egypt, is going to be an attempt to rectify, to purify, to a cathartic experience, to do a tikkun on the neshamas of the Dor HaMabul. And therefore, Paro declares, it's a kind of a miniature mabul that's going to take place for the Jewish neshamas. They're going to be punished if they don't live up to the rectification of the neshamas of the Dor HaMabul. Many of the Jewish people, fortunately, one is dachachu, were purified in Mitzrayim with the terrible shibud and the oppression, and they would be metakein the Dor HaMabul. They would be the individuals who would reach Har Sinai and accept the Torah. Those who failed to do so would be drowned in the Nile, and they would suffer because they were not up to rectification of the tikkun, the Gilgal neshamas of the Dor HaMabul. And if we now go on to Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Arizal, Moshe Rabbeinu now becomes the leader of the Dor HaMabul, if you will. Meaning, he's coming to the Golas Mitzrayim. He's the Gilgal of Noach. Noach failed to have any influence on his generation. Hence, that generation was destroyed. Moshe Rabbeinu is now going to be a leader for that generation that experienced the Mabul, and now in a different set of goofy, but the same neshamas. And now, Moshe Rabbeinu, are you going to save your generation, where Noach did not save that same generation? And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm about to destroy the people, as if to say, what's going to be your response? Are you going to fail and be passive in the same way that Noach was passive? And therefore, we begin to understand, what does it mean, v'noach matzachein b'yeni Hashem? Noach was included in the Gzeirah. He too should have died in the flood. But yet, noach matzachein. What's noach matzachein? Says the Arizal. You know what noach matzachein is? Hashem sees that down the line, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to step up to the plate. He's going to succeed and rectify where Noach failed. And that's the same neshama in a different goof. And therefore, Hashem has compassion on Noah. Why does Noah find favor in the eyes of God? Where's the Metzius Chayin? Because the Metzius Chayin here is really Moshe Rabbeinu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees with his eye into the future that this neshama of Noah is going to be reincarnated in the body of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he will fix up the deficiency of Noach. He will be willing to be Moser Nefesh for the sake of davening for his generation, and therefore Noach Matzachem Beni Hashem. Fantastic concept. concept. Again, it's very mystical that Hashem would have compassion on Noah because that neshama is going to eventually live up to the expectations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, albeit down the line in history in a different goof, but nevertheless it's the same neshama, and therefore Noach Motzachein B'Eini Hashem. And if this be the case, then the Pasuk says Vayomer Hashem L'Noach Bo Ata V'Chol Beischa El Ateva Ki Oscha Ra'isi Tzadik L'Fanai Bedar. What's the next word, Rabbi Osai? Hazeh. Take the word Hazeh and calculate its numerical value. There are two A's in Hazeh, and there's a Zion. What is it?
17.
Count the generations from Noach till Moshe. And he goes through it here. We don't have time for this, but it's 17 generations. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Hazeh of Noach. And therefore Hashem says to Noach, Oschara Yisi Tzadik Lefanei Bedar Hazeh. In this door, you may be deficient, but in the Hazeh, 17 generations down the line, there will be a tikkun. That's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, we go on to the left column here, second paragraph. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'ata im tisa chatosam, if you'll be willing to forgive their sin, fine. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beremes, what Hashem said to Noah, Ki nichamti ki asisim, I have regret that I created these human beings, v'noach motzochein b'eini Hashem, that Noah had this metzius chen. And why does Noah have Metzius Chayin when he himself is worthy, is included in the original Gezerah? The Matzah Chayin is the Gilgul of Moshe Rabbeinu who be Mispalel. And therefore, in Tisach HaTosam, if you'll finally accept my Tikkun, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will you forgive the people of Israel and let them continue to exist? V'im Ayin, if you won't accept my Tefillah, if the people of Israel will be decreed to die, and I am not considered a tikkun, you don't respect or appreciate my Messias Nefesh as a tikkun, and mechenino misifuch asher kosavta. What does it mean, mechenino? Erase me from v'noach matzochein b'eni Hashem. Because the v'noach matzochein b'eni Hashem is because of Moshe Rabbeinu, because of me. If you're not willing to accept my tikkun, my rectification of Noach, then mecheni no misifcha, take my name out of your sefer. My name is in the pasuk v'noach matzochein b'eni Hashem. Re'isa shani osid l'sakin es habagam. Noach found favor in your eyes, grace in your eyes, b'eni Hashem. Why? Because I would be the Gilgal of Noach. I would come to the platform of history, and I would rectify what Noach failed to do. And the oscha re'isi tzadik l'fonai b'dor hazeh. That pasuk of Hazeh, which indicates that 17 generations later, Hazeh, there will be a Gilgal of Noach, and that's why Noach is spared because of Moshe Rabbeinu. Erase that all. Take it out of the sefer, because that whole episode of Noach Matzachin, of Oscha Ra'isi Tzadik Lufani B'dor Hazeh, is all just not true. It's not accurate. Why? Because you don't want to accept my prayers. And if that be the case, then in the bottom left column, we can begin to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to omit Moshe Rabbeinu's name from Parshas Tetzaveh. And we ask the question, why? And why dafka Parshas Tetzaveh? And the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reveal to everyone in Israel, for all posterity, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moser Nefesh. And how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal that? He says, you know what? I'm going to omit Moshe Rabbeinu's name from this parsha. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu legalos bifnei kol Yisrael to reveal es mesirus nafsho agdolah shel Moshe Rabbeinu latzolos Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu's kavana was with all of sincerity, his whole heart, ayin mecheninu misifrecha, to the point in which he had a need to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu to erase his name. And therefore Hashem wanted to say that, you know what? Moshe Rabbeinu has succeeded in achieving a tikkun, and therefore his name is going to be concealed. It's going to be the name of Noach, so to speak. It's going to be the Zayas, the Alei Zayas. Take a look on page 3, and we'll try to embellish this idea. We started with the Medrash. The Medrash says, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the Jewish people to light, to bring the Shem and Zayas, to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, to bring the Or? And the answer is because we, the people of Israel, are meant to replace or to be compared to the Yonah of Noach. V'hini alei zayis tarif b'fia. The Medrash says, "Omer Kodesh Baruch my Yonah hevia oro liolam af atem shenim shaltem ki Yonah." As the pasuk says, "Einayich ki Yonim heviu haviu shem and zayis v'dliku lefanei es aner." And that's v'yata tetzav yichle lecha shemen. The Gemara tells us in Horios, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kishem shazayis mishakech limud shel shivim shana, kach shemen zayis meshiv limud shel shivim shana. Shemen zayis represents symbolically the power of remembering Torah, bringing back Torah that was lost. The purpose of limud Torah is to remember the Torah and transmit it to the next generation. How do we do so? We do so through Shemen Zayas. Why Shemen? The Zayas itself represents the Torah in its external form. But there is below the surface, there is a secret that's concealed by the Zayas, and that's the Shemen Zayas. It's Shemen Zayas that means that we are dedicated to the study of Torah, and we will remove the shemen from the zayis. We will remove that which is concealed through our work and toil in Torah, and the shemen will be revealed, will be extracted from the zayis. The Gemara tells us about the significance of transmitting Torah to others. It's called Torah Shel Chesed. The Mishnah says, Im lamadat Torah harbe at the beginning of Avos harbe al tachzik Torah liatzlo ki lekach notzarta. If you study Torah, don't give yourself a pat on the back, because you were meant to study Torah. Man was created to work and toil in the vineyard of Torah, to remove that which is concealed in the Torah. A lot of people want to go and study Torah at a very superficial level. They don't want to reach a higher level and move on to a more deep and profound level. It's very comfortable, and they're in the comfort zone. But that's not Shemen Zayas. That's Zayas without Shemen. And if it's going to be Zayas without Shemen, ask that same person a year later. Test him and see if he remembers what he learned the year before. But if he's interested in Shemen Zayas, if he's climbing the ladder, and he's achieving Shemen Zayas, what's the difference between Zayas and Shemen Zayas? And he says in the last four lines on the right column, HaZayas is Shemen Sagur B'tocho. The Zayas is just external. The internal, deeper meaning of Torah is hidden, is concealed below the surface of the Zayas, in the Shemen Zayas. But if a person studies Torah and pushes himself to try to get a deeper understanding of Torah, then he can overcome shichacha. Zayas represents shichacha. Shemen Zayas represents the ability of a Jew to retain his Torah, to remember it. He may not remember all the details, but if he worked hard and he removed the shemen and he came up with new insights, then he will remember those insights, at least in some conceptual way. The Esek HaTorah on the highest level is going to be the Shemen Zayas. That's going to give a person the ability, the skula, to remember his Torah. And this is the difference between Moshe and Noach. Noach is a tzaddik, but he's a Zayas tzaddik. He holds the Shemen inside of him. He retains it all for himself. He's not willing to transmit it to others. His form of Talmud Torah is very self-centered. He doesn't go out to the public to try to inspire them and transmit Torah to them. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, is going to be a tikkun of Noach. He's going to be Shemen Zayas. The Ata Titzaveh, the Yikhu Elecha Shemen Zayas. The Shemen Zayas is Elecha, Moshe Rabbeinu, because you are the paradigm of a leader who cares for your people. You are the paradigm of someone who studies Torah and he receives the Torah from Hashem, and you share the Torah, you transmit the Torah. Chazal tells us in the Gemara Nedarim that Moshe Rabbeinu received Torah Shebaal Peh, which is called Shemen Zayis, and he would not bar Ayin Tova. He decided to share it magnanimously with the people of Israel, because Moshe Rabbeinu is dedicated to the people of Israel. He is the paradigm, the personification of Shemen Zayis, that takes that which is concealed, and instead of keeping it for himself like the Zayis, he shares it with others. V'ata tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael. V'yikhu eilecha shem in Zayis. And the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, Rotsa sheyachkim yadron. V'simoncha menorah, simonecha is menorah v'dorom. A person who faces the south is davening. He's trying to achieve Chachmas HaTorah, because the menorah, which is situated in the Dorom, is a symbolic representation of Chachmas HaTorah, the wisdom of the Torah. Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or. The R that comes from the menorah is the R of Torah v'Torah or. And that's situated in the Dorom. So if you're praying for a Torah, I once stood next to a Rosh Hashiva, famous Rosh Hashiva. I don't want to mention his name because maybe it's not for publication. But I stood next to him while he was davening, not because deliberately I wanted to overhear his conversation with the Almighty, but he was just like saying it out loud. And he said, Atachonei Lanavdas, over and over and over again. A very famous Rosh Hashiva, you've all heard of him. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He put so much emphasis on this plea, this supplication, Hashem, give me Torah. A great Rosh Hashiva, but apparently he wanted more Torah, and he wanted to clarify the Torah so he could transmit it to his Talmidim. Torah or, he wanted the light of Torah, and he was begging Hashem for that ability. V'yikhu eilecha shemen zayis och. This shemen zayis is going to be the shemen of our Torah. It's the shemen of the menorah. The menorah is in the Dorum. The Dorum represents limud haTorah, to give light. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was born, the entire house was full of light. Light means when someone, instead of concealing and taking something for himself, he's willing to transmit it to others so that others could see that R. It's not Choshech, but rather it's R. And that's the mitzvah of Lahalos Ner Tamid. Lahalos Ner Tamid means that the menorah symbolically represents passing and transmitting the Torah on a constant basis. We should remember the Torah that we studied because we worked hard to remove the shemen from the zayis. And here we want to take a look at the language of the Medrash on the bottom of the third, of the middle column on page 3, and we may have to wrap it up pretty soon, but I just wanted to make sure that we understand the tremendous connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm of the menorah, of the light of Torah that he transmits to the people. Nod b'ayin yofa. And the Medrash says that the ultimate goal of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is to bring light into the world. And what that means is that just like the Yonah brought light into the world after the menorah, we, as the metaphoric representation of the Yonah, have to bring light into this world. We have to take the Torah and make it into Shemen Zayis. We have to light the menorah, which represents the Chochmas HaTorah, and make sure the R is accessible. What happened in the case of the Yonah? Take a look on the left column, the paragraph that starts Me'ata. Achrei she'ras ha'Yonah she'kolu ha'mayim al p'nei adama. What would she do? She realized that now the waters are down, right? The earth has become dry. She wanted to come back to Noach with an Olah Zayis. What she wanted to do, again, this is all metaphysical, that he is the Bechina of Zayis. And if he's the Bechina of Zayis, well, Zayis has within it Konus Betocho, Otzer Betocho, the Shemen. And therefore, the Yonah says to Noach, you know what? I'm going to bring you an Olah Zayis. You know what? You, Noach, have failed to produce Shemen Zayis. You are guilty of a Zayis. And there will be a possibility that Klal Yisrael, coming from Moshe Rabbeinu, will be inspired by his by his light of transmitting the Torah, in that Gilgul, Moshe will create a tikkun, and he, in that tikkun, will achieve the lighting of the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash from what? From the Shemen of Zayis. The Yonah brings the R because the Yonah is the one who tells Noah that there's only a chance for you if there'll be a Gilgul, there'll be a Tikkun, there'll be Shemen Zayis. You are the Bechina of Zayis. And that Tikkun is going to be V'ato Tetzavi, you Moshe Rabbeinu, command the people, V'ikwe Lecha Shemen. Let them bring you Shemen. Teach them that is Torah that's concealed in the Zayis. Teach them that they have the glorious responsibility, the most glorious responsibility that they could be, to create Shemen Zayis. To take that which is concealed, bring out the R, and have a tremendous impact on one Jew to the other. And that's the Mecheni. The Mecheni of the Menach. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mecheni, I don't want to be part of the Menach. Erase me from your Sefer if I'm part of that Menach. Because I'm here in order to impact on my generation, to transmit the Torah, to bring the R, to encourage them and influence them to create the Shemen Zayis of Torah. I am here to be Metake in the Neshama of Noach. And Hashem's response is, V'yichu Elecha Shemen Zayis Zach. And Shemen Zayis Zach means that you are the Shemen. You are the Mem after the Shin and the Nun. You are the ultimate Gilgul and the ultimate Tikkun of Noach, because you're not satisfied with Zayis, but rather you want Shemen Zayis. And you will impact on the people of Israel to produce Shemen Zayis. I implore you to read through page 4 where we're up to in your spare time, if you can. And if not, you've got the gist of it. And I end with a prayer. Yiratzon, that in this parasha of Atta Tetzaveh, we should appreciate the legacy of Moshe, his tikkun. He is going to give us the legacy of Shemen Zayis, the chance in a lifetime to study Torah on the deepest level, to remove that which is kanus v'atzur, to reveal that which is concealed through a process of great work, of hovering, what we call hovering, of yigia and amelus, to produce Shemen Zayis. And if we do so, we'll bring the light to our children, to our grandchildren, to our community, and to all of Klal Yisrael. Ken Yiratzon. Amen. 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 Amen.